What caused the other madahib to die out? Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi came to Egypt in the year 199. And then in Egypt, there used to be the Imam of Egypt in the time of Imam Malik, he was Imam Layth ibn Sa'd. A great Imam, at the level of the other four Imams. Imam Shafi comes to Egypt and he finds that the madhab of Imam Layth had just about died out. He used to say, no, Malik was his own teacher. But he encounters the fiqh of Imam Layth, the mother of Imam Layth, and he says, Al-Layth afqah min Malik. This Imam Layth was a better mujtahid, a better faqir than my own ustad Imam Malik. غَيْرَ أَنَّ أَصْحَابَهُ ضَيَّعُوا. His students, however, they neglected his madhab. His students did not transmit that madhab to the next generation, and they to the next generation. Madahib are preserved through the efforts of men, which generations after generations, if all of us should today stop, all Shafi'is in the world, or Malikis, or Hanbalis, or Hanafis for that matter, would stop with the transmission of it, and even these four madahib would come to an end. But there is something, there's a certain internal resilience within these four, that for some reason or the other, they've consistently managed to inspire a next generation. That inspiration which they drew from on high, that continued to transmit itself to the next generation, that next generation will inshallah inspire a next generation, and inspire, and inspire. But this is of course inspiration from Allah Ta'ala's side. He had kept this particular grace and mercy for these four, and the others had died out. Their students did not quite maintain their legacies afterwards. These four are the ones that were kept. As for what they contain, what those other madhahibs contain, in many, many respects, they mirror the contents of the other madhahib. For example, why did Imam Shafi say that Layth is afqah min Malik? Because Imam Shafi and Imam Layth, their fiqh, their madhab, they agree, they mirror one another to a great extent in terms of methodology, in terms of content. But Imam Layth's madhab did not continue to exist. Like that, there were others. Some mentioned 15, some mentioned even more names than that. The reason for the extinction is the same. The reason for extinction is subsequent generation did not pay sufficient attention to them. Allahu alam. As far as the Shafi'i madhab is concerned, we look at a madhab as something that facilitates the practice of deen. Facilitates the practice of deen. So it is necessary if everyone should practice deen. If everyone should have to practice deen, then it's one of two options that they have. Either they go personally to the Quran and Sunnah and go and find everything from there, which is a gargantuan task, which is probably practically impossible, or they take it from a ready-made kind of packaging or a source. What the madhab does, that's what it provides. It has systematically set together a number of rules. This is the easy way in which to do it. So in that sense, since everyone has to practice deen, you're going to have to refer to some source of authority if you're not the authority yourself. That is the role that the madhab plays. The Shafi'i madhab has a certain flexibility about it. What they say, what the fuqaha of a madhab have ruled, that in particular instances, here and there, there's no harm if you practice the view of another madhab. The only problem that we have, if you on a continuous and obsessive basis go and look for the easiest view in everything, that is called tatabbu' al-rukhas. When you look for the easiest view, and the easiest view not just among the four madhahib, you go and look for all those extinct madhahib also. A person was brought to the court of the Khalifa al-Ma'mun, and he had written a book. In his book, some or the other, he had taken all the weirdest opinion from all the weirdest of sources, and he put together something which says that, look, you can drink wine, you can call them zina, because that alim said this, and that alim said that, and you're looking for what they call the zallatul ulama, the places where the feet of the ulama slipped and they made certain mistakes. So once you start seeking out the dispensations, then are you following sharia, or are you following your own desire? So all that you shouldn't do is on a consistent, obsessive basis, go look for the easiest of opinions. But in individual instances here and there, if a person opts for a different madhab, as far as the rules of the Shafi'i madhab is concerned, he is not restricted from that, he may do so. As long as he does it with proper consultation, not just someone who you saw walking in the street and a legs was alim, so you just ask him and he gives you an answer. No, it must be a recognized authority. So you're going to practice the view of another madhab, consult an authority of that particular madhab to make sure that it is a valid view. As long as that's in place, there's no restriction of that kind.